We continue our march through Advent this morning. Advent is a season of waiting, a season of hoping, a season of wondering. And we've been working our way through, and I hope you have as well, through our booklet here, A Time for Wonder is the name of the Advent devotional we've been working through. And it's also the title theme for this morning's Advent service. We've walked through the various weeks of this as we've read it together and preached on it. And today, as we wrap up our Advent preaching, we're looking at what it means to consider a time of wonder. Can you believe Christmas is just 2 days, 3 days away? It is right around the corner. And yet, to focus on Christmas at this point without wrapping up Advent would be to shortchange this season of waiting, this season of wondering, this season of hoping. I actually asked Pastor Chris this week, I said, do we typically sing Christmas carols before we get to Christmas, or do we stick with the Advent carols? And he said, well, we don't necessarily, though we've done mostly Advent carols, but there's a richness and there's a beauty in the Advent carols as we wait and as we wonder and as we hope for what is to come. And sometimes we jump right into Christmas as soon as December starts, and we forget that there was a period of waiting and of wondering. And as I was thinking about and preparing and getting ready for the message this morning, I found myself reflecting on that word wonder. What does it mean to wonder or to experience wonder? And what's interesting, I think, about the word is that it's maybe more complex than we often give it credit for. For instance, wonder comes as the root of some words that we like wondrous and wonderful. And one of my favorite when I was looking at the dictionary, wonderment. Sounds made up, but I promise you, it's real. It's that sense of wonder that we get to be filled with wonderment. If I were to describe the roads yesterday morning, I could call them a winter wonderland. And that would sound quite positive, given the nature, if any of you were out before 1 or 2 o'clock yesterday. It was a winter wonderland out there driving around. But that idea of a winter wonderland or being in wonder gives us this sense of a positive and of an uplifted feel. The noun wonder brings some sense of hope. On the other hand, when we think about the term wonder, the word wonder as a verb, we get a different feeling. I wonder when PennDOT is going to finally treat my road. Has a very different feel than describing my road as a winter wonderland, doesn't it? When we ask the question, I wonder if this was really the best recipe to use for Christmas dinner, that's not generally a compliment to the chef, is it? That's a little bit of a, I'm not so certain we should pull this one back out next year, right? Wonder can be to think or to ruminate or to consider something, but it can mean that we doubt things a little bit, doesn't it? I wonder if someone's going to survive this disease. I wonder if they're going to make it home in time. I wonder, we wonder, and it brings a sense of doubt to our world. And so in one sense, this idea of wonder kind of lifts us up and carries us through the Christmas season. And yet the idea of wondering can also be something that tends to pull us down or cause us to question. We go from this sense of excited anticipation to a sense of dread and concern. And then I think about how wonder might have been for the Israelites in the years leading up to the birth of Jesus. And I think, well, no wonder it's such an interesting word. For 400 years, they waited for the birth of the Messiah. And I can't imagine what it would be like to wait 400 years for something, because most of the time, I can't wait 4 days for my Amazon packages to show up, right? And yet, here the Israelites are. They're waiting, they're wondering, they're hoping. And that probably worked really well for the first generation and maybe the second generation. But I'm not certain how many generations exactly fit into the 400 years of waiting between the time the last prophet spoke and the birth of the Messiah. But I have to wonder if it didn't leave them wondering a whole lot about what God was doing. See, this idea of wonder often comes out of a sense of the unexpected, the unknown, things that we can't explain. For instance, this brings me wonder. Are you familiar with the aurora? Did any of you pull out your phones when it kind of stretched down into western Pennsylvania? With your eyes, you could see a little bit on the horizon, maybe, depending on where you were and how dark it was. But man, if you pulled out your phone, cameras were able to capture something that our eyes just weren't able. Things like the aurora bring us a sense of wonder, lights dancing through the sky. I mean, I've read some of the scientific explanation of it, but I still find myself in wonder over it. Or maybe as a child, you found yourself in wonder over a kaleidoscope. Did you play with a kaleidoscope? Did you make one? You'd take the pieces of glass and you'd put them in the end of the one piece, and then you'd have the reflective sides down through the middle, and as you looked through it, you saw these different shapes, and as you twisted it and turned it, the shapes would change, and they would bring wonder. I'm not saying that I spent hours and hours with it, but there was something about it that brought wonder. Or the rainbow. Even now, after a storm, and I found a picture with the double rainbow, right? That especially when that second one shows up, there's a sense of wonder that comes in looking at this. And what I find is interesting about all three of these aspects of wonder that we've just looked at here is they all have something to do with light. If it weren't for light, we wouldn't have any of these. We wouldn't have kaleidoscopes, and we wouldn't have rainbows, and we wouldn't have the aurora. In fact, there's something about the way that light filters through our world that brings us wonder. It's no surprise that very often we put a star at the top of the tree, that we hang lights all around our tree at Christmas, that one of the fun things to do is to go driving down the streets and see all of the lights, because light brings us wonder. And you might recall from last week that Pastor Chris shared with us the text out of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything that came into being came through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't extinguish it. There's something about light and wonder and life that come together in the birth of our Messiah. And in this promise from John chapter 1, we hear that Jesus coming as the Word was tied to the light. And in fact, everything that came into being through him. And do you remember what the first thing that came into being was? In the beginning, when God began to create the heavens and the earth was without form. It was out without shape. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." Out of chaos, God drew light, and then from there, God begins to organize everything that we see and we know in creation, and I could only imagine what it must have been like to watch all that is come into being as God brought light. We think about the darkness that we experience in this world so often, that in darkness, there's this sense of the unknown. Right? Light brings order out of what is unknown. Even if you know the room that you're in, when it's dark, there's an unknown aspect to that room. During our children's message at the 8:30 service, the question was asked, "Are you afraid of the dark?" And one of the kids responded, "I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the dark." And I thought, oh, that'll preach. Right? That'll preach. Because it's not the darkness that often brings us fear. Even as adults, it's what's in the darkness that brings us fear. We find ourselves worrying and concerned over the noises that we hear, over the sounds, and particularly if we find ourselves in an unfamiliar place. Maybe the house that you've lived in for the last 20, 30, 40 years, you know the creaks, you know the moans, you know the noises that it makes as the temperature changes and as the wind blows, and they're somewhat comforting. You lay down at night and it's dark and you feel a sense of peace, but you've become comfortable with that darkness. Find yourself in a house that you don't know with noises that you're not familiar with, and that darkness doesn't feel as peaceful or as comforting anymore, does it? And the truth is that very often when we think about or when we consider how the darkness works in our own lives, we find that maybe we've become a little bit too comfortable with the darkness that we experience. See, John chapter 3, verse 16, a verse that we're all very familiar with, says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life, right? We're familiar with that. We know those words well. But too often, we don't keep reading there. We're happy with those. But watch. Light is here again. God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged because they don't believe in the name of God's only son. This is the basis for judgment. Light came into the world, and the people loved darkness more than the light, for their actions are evil. All who do wicked things hate the light and don't come to the light for fear that their actions will be exposed to the light. Whoever does truth comes to the light so that it can be seen that their actions are done in God. Oh, I clicked the wrong button, sorry. Here's the thing. We get comfortable with our darkness sometimes. And the world around us gets very comfortable with its darkness sometimes. Because we can explain some of the things in the world around us. But when it comes to trying to understand God, we have a hard time understanding who God is, putting words to our understanding of God. We use phrases this time of year like the Christmas spirit. And we can talk about that because we've created an idea of what the Christmas spirit is. Santa Claus is wonderful this time of year because we've created an idea of what Santa is. We can explain it. But God, born in a manger? How do we explain that? The creator of the world coming to us in the form of a baby? We can't wrap our minds around that. Much less than begin to explain how that same creator who came to us as a baby wants us to live our lives a particular way and that our choices don't always get to be our choices, but we have a way that we're supposed to live. The world doesn't like that explanation. And so we find ourselves sometimes, even at Christmas, struggling to talk about and to share who God is, because it doesn't fit the image of the God that the world wants us to know. But you know, there's nothing new here, because if we go back to our Old Testament prophets, if we go back to the prophet Isaiah, we hear these words, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, a light has dawned. Notice, these words aren't future tense. It's not that the people walking in light or in darkness will see a great light. It's not that the people living in the pitch dark will see a light dawn. No, it's already happened. And yet, the Savior hasn't been born. But we remember from John that in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God's plan. In the beginning, God had already conquered evil. And yet, those of us walking in this world often get comfortable with our darkness. Isaiah goes on to say that you've made the nation great. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you with a harvest. On the day of Midian, God shatters the yoke that burdened them, and he puts the staff on their shoulders and the rod of their oppressors, because every boot of the thundering warriors and every garment rolled in blood will be burned for fire. For what? For unto us a child is born. You know these words. Unto us a son is given, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be a vast authority, an endless peace for David's throne, for his kingdom, and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of heavenly forces will do this. For unto us a child is born, not will be born. My friends, even before the birth of Jesus, God's promise was already fulfilled. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. And yet, we have a hard time explaining it. We have a hard time putting words to it. And so we get comfortable in our darkness because we wonder and we wait and we look for a God that doesn't seem to be present when we see sickness, when we see distress, when we see mental illness, when we see our kids struggling in schools. We struggle with understanding who God is. Wonder has this positive and this uplifting feeling to it, but it also sometimes brings doubt. As we wait and as we hope at Christmas time, expecting the birth of a newborn baby, we're also expecting the second coming of a king. And we're living in this in-between time where we don't get to realize the fullness of God's kingdom, and yet God is the king already. And when we walk out into the world and they want to talk about Santa and the Christmas spirit, we need to recognize that that's not really what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the Savior coming into this world, about the Creator stepping into creation, about Emmanuel, God with us, so that we might have some understanding of who God is. The shepherds came to see a baby. But that feels weird. The wise men came to see a baby born in a manger, but that feels weird. If it was a king in a palace, maybe, yes, but a baby born in a manger? Our God works in ways that we don't understand. Our God works in ways that this world can't understand. Don't let the darkness of this world stop you from sharing the light of Christ this holiday season. Don't let the message of Christmas become about some Christmas spirit or Santa instead of being the Christ child born in a manger. Don't let the wonder of Christmas become lights on a tree instead of our salvation born to us. My friends, the wonder of Christmas is the salvation of your soul. Let's pray together. Good and gracious Father, you are beyond what we can imagine. You are beyond what we can know. You are beyond all things. And yet, Father, you desire to make yourself flesh, to make yourself human, so that we might glimpse you. We might come to know you just a little bit. God, in this Christmas season, help us to know you a little bit more. Help us to be a light to this world, shining like a city on a hill, so that this world might see your goodness in this Christmas season. God, may they see you as King, born in a manger, the salvation of our souls. Amen.